Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Community Legacy League Recap. My name is Patrick. I'm your Legacy newbie. With me this week, I have Danny.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
And Tom on the call. What's up, Tom?
Not much. How you doing?
Doing all right. So we're here today. We're going to do a quick recap of last week's Legacy League. We have one more regular event this week on Wednesday, and then the quarterly on Saturday we'll also have a quick chat about as well. So we figure we'll get right into it. How did y'all weeks go last week?
I actually didn't play last week. I couldn't make it, so Steven actually ran the event for me. But the week before that, I played Infect, and I went 1-3. Bad week. Bad week.
That does tend to happen. That does happen. I actually took a completely different deck into the league last week, a deck that I had never played before. It's something that we talked about on the Leaving Legacy podcast. I brought Canadian Threshold. I put that deck together. I borrowed some Tarmogoyfs and some True Names from some really nice people in the group. And I was able to put together a measly 1-3 finish. I lost to a junk deck in round one. I think it was running like Death Shadow. It was Brian's deck. And
yeah, actually, we should talk a little bit about that deck a little bit later.
Yes,
but that deck is sweet.
It was very neat. I lost to our friend Tom Smiley. He's a local here. He's a very good player. He was playing Storm. And then I lost to Panda the God, who was on Colorless Eldrazi, which is my old deck. And then I lost to him as well. And then round four, I beat Canderson. He was on a mentor list. Actually, it says Mentor Stompy, but I think it was, basically just, Miracles without the Miracles. It was, like, running top and counterbalance, but I don't see any, like, the actual, well, actually, there is Terminus there, so, yeah, it was just, like, a Miracles deck. I beat him in two games. The deck was fun to play, but I don't think I would play it again. Like, the layout that I had wasn't ideal, I think. It was just like a 75 I just took off the internet, actually, and somehow I missed. I actually only ran 74 cards because looks like I missed one of my sideboard cards somehow, so I,
Was your list running the 4 Stifle?
This was, let me think. Yeah, it was, so I played 4 Delver, 4 Nimble Mongoose, 2 Tarmogoyf, 2 True Name Nemesis, and 1 Grim Lavamancer.
Okay.
4 Brainstorm, 4 Daze, 4 Force, 4 Ponder, 4 Bolt, 4 Stifle, 3 Spell Pierce, and 2 Dismember. And then it was just like 18 lands, like 8 Fetches, 4 Wasteland, 3 Trop, 3 Volcanic.
Okay.
It wasn't, I don't know, it was okay, but I don't know, I didn't think Rug Delver was too good. I actually put together Bug Delver for this week, so I'll be playing that. I actually sold off all my Eldrazi pieces and put together a few different lists that I've been testing out this week, so I'll try to bring something new and spicy to the table this week for the event.
All right, cool.
Yeah. Tom, how'd you do last week, man?
I went 3-1. It was a pretty interesting week. I played Steve on Tezzerator in round one.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much super interesting happened in that round. Pithing Needles is really good against his deck. It shut off Tezzeret in one game. It shut off Opter Foundry in another game. Discard is really good against that deck. I hit a bridge out of his hand before it could come down. There's one interaction that was really... I'd never come across it because I don't see the card in Legacy all that often. He played a Force Field on me in game two.
Okay.
So, needless to say, that's very good against Marillage. So, while I was digging for trying to find a Grip or a Decay to kill him through the Force Field, he kept playing Planeswalkers. But the Force Field doesn't protect the Planeswalkers.
Mm-hmm.
So my Marillage was just on turn sideways kill Planeswalker duties. So I killed a Dak Vaden, and I'd never come across that, but the Force Field only protects, you pay the one life to prevent the extra damage to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But the Planeswalkers still go down. So I won that match 2-1. In round two, I actually played sort of the mirror. I played Hex Steps, but the black green version.
Uh-huh.
getting tired there.
Pat. Yeah, sorry, it's been a long day, man.
we can skip this.
No, part. No. It's not you. It's me. I swear this never happens to me and all that stuff.
Nice. Nice. So I played Black Rain Depths in round two. I think my deck is kind of favored in that spot. We have a lot of the same cards, but I have Brainstorms, so basically my discard can rip their pieces out, but their discard has to play through Brainstorm hiding cards, plus Brainstorm can dig after the fact. So that's kind of what happened. I Brainstormed into a Marilage the turn before he could, and Sajiri Step pushed through his Marilage token. Game two was one of the more interesting games I've played in a long time. It was a 44-turn game.
Jeez.
Yeah. He basically...
Wait, hold on. You said 44?
44 turns, yes.
44. Oh my god.
Yeah. So I hit him with a discard spell on turn one, and he had three green tutors, two crop rotations, step. He also had two maps and two thespian stages, so five tutors and two stages. So I took one of the maps, figuring I also had a stifle in hand. So I figured I'm going to take the map, I'm going to stifle his first map activation, and I'm going to color screw him out of the game. So that was my plan. He immediately drew Wasteland, which meant I couldn't combo for a while. Then he drew Depths. So what ended up happening was he Wastelanded my Depths and drew a Surgical and Surgicaled my Depths, and then needled Wasteland. But I don't think he knew that I run Wasteland and Ghost Quarter. So I tutored for Ghost Quarter, Ghost Quartered his Depths, and extracted his Depths. So now we're in the mirror with no one having any Dark Depths. When I was looking through his deck with the extractions, I noticed for some reason they boarded out Hexmages. So he legit had no way to win the game.
Wow.
other than decking me or timing me out on Odo. And we both had like 15 minutes left, so he wasn't timing me out. And he did have more cards in his library, though. So I was digging I was basically digging the Hex Mages to try and kill him. And eventually it occurred to me that I could try to deck him, too. So I used my second extraction to extract his extractions. So he was still ahead of me by three cards. But I had two more extractions left in my deck, and he didn't have any left. So eventually I drew into the extractions and got him one card below me, exactly. So I was planning on hopefully drawing Hex Mages, but I didn't see a Hex Mage until turn 29, and immediately he abrupt decayed that one, and I didn't see the next one until turn 38.
Oh my god.
and two of the last four Hex Mages were in the bottom four cards.
Oh my god.
So yeah, so he died to the second Hex Mage killing him when he had two cards left in his library and I had three cards left in my library. It was pretty hysterical.
So, that's crazy.
I've won with Hex Mage beats before, but that's the longest game I've ever played with this deck. So that was fun. So I immediately got punished for having all that fun by playing Death and Taxes in the third round.
Oh.
I lost a game to the normal Caracas Ghost Quarter or Wasteland, Mother Runes Flyer kind of thing. I won game two. Game three, I do this every once in a while where I'm not 100% paying attention to the game I'm playing, and I get a plan in my head. And I'm just, this is what my hand does. So I had a Bayou, a Depths, a Crop Rotation, and a Discard spell. So I'm figuring I'm just going to kill him on turn two, unless he has a Wasteland or a Caracas. So I hit him with the Discard spell on turn one, and he doesn't have, I take the only answer he has. He has no other interaction. He has like a Flicker Wisp and a Vial, but that's not fast enough for a turn two. So I'm like, okay, I'm cropping for Depths, or cropping for Urborg. Then I'm going to make the guy on turn two and kill him unless he draws an answer. So I do this on my turn, too. I didn't even look at the card I drew. So I drew Urborg for the turn. So, of course, he draws an answer that turn, and I used my answer to his answer to tutor for a land that I'd drawn for the turn. So I'm staring at it, very irritated at myself, and I spent the next 12 turns slowly dying because I'm an idiot and didn't pay any attention to what I drew. So that was my round three, and round four I played Red Rain Lands, which is usually pretty interesting with the back and forth stage play and the back and forth Wasteland and Ghost Quarter play, and they have a million answers, and post board you both have Caracas, and yeah, it's just all fun and games.
Man, you really struggled to get your 3-1 this week, huh?
Yeah, I had to work for it. So
it's about time. It's about time someone made you work for it.
This is like the fifth or sixth time I've played this guy on Red Green Lands. He's a very good player, and he's got the pretty standard version nowadays with the four Ghost Quarters, the four Wastelands. You know, that's kind of a grind. So it's kind of a grind fest of a matchup.
I always have like really good games every time I play the Red Green Lands player. I think it's one with nothing, isn't that?
Yeah, he's actually won three of the last 5 weeks or something, or three of the last six weeks.
He's on fire.
Yeah, he's been doing really good. I thought I was way ahead of anybody catching me, but I think I can't actually make this week. So if he wins this week, he actually passes me for the first quarter.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, he's been on a pretty good run.
Yeah, but, he's only 4 points behind you.
Yeah, so if he... Yeah, I guess if he finishes first or second, because I'm not even going to get a participation point. So if he finishes first or second, he'll pass me then.
Yeah.
So,
and it looks like Pat, you got to do a top four this week in order to get a bye.
Yeah, I've struck out the last 6 weeks. Just hasn't gone my way. I have to I have to do something. I have to go to 3-1.
Yeah, Pat,
you want to borrow my deck, Pat?
Pat, I'm like looking at the leaderboard right now, and you're like 3-1-1-3-3, and then there's like past 6 weeks all just ones.
Yeah, it's been brutal. I have not had a my overall record has dropped below 500 by like 7 games, so it's a little, unfortunate, man. But it happens.
Dude, anyway. I'm right there with you. I haven't been playing very well either.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? You know.
Yeah, I think we're gonna have if you get a buy, and Wekapipo, I think, if that's how you pronounce it, he is only 2 points away from getting a buy, so if he makes top four, he'll get a buy as well. So
yeah, we have 6 people with buys, potentially.
Yep, potentially six people.
It's also possible, like, if Brian wins the event and gets 6 points, he could actually have a buy, too.
So yeah, he's been on fire lately, too, with that Death Shadows deck.
That's Yeah,
it's kind of the deck that I wanted to talk about. It feels like it looks like a modern deck, except it has dual lands in it. But it's been tearing up. I mean, I watched a few of his games, and that Death Shadow is no joke.
Yeah, he's doing some cool stuff with it. Actually, I can drop in the chat if you guys want. Here, we'll put a drop in there.
I think he actually uses Shocklands specifically to get his life down.
Yep. Yep.
In Legacy.
Yep. Then they'll use they use Dismember as well, to the same effect. What else? He has 4 Thoughtseize in here. All of which will assist in getting his life a little low.
Yeah, this deck is sweet. It's basically a Traverse deck. Like he has for the 4 Traverse Uvenwald. Mm-hmm. And then if you look in his sideboard, he's got some sweet sweet targets like Gaddak Teeg. That's sweet in the sideboard. I imagine he can get that up, and that like shuts down Miracles. He's got 4 Tarmogoyf, Renegade Rallier. I imagine is pretty good, and then the 4 Death Shadow and 4 Deathrite Shaman. Deck is pretty sweet.
That's wild. Yeah,
he's using like standard cards. Liliana, the Last Hope.
Yeah. Yep.
Liliana, the Last Hope is a beating against certain strategies. Oh. Yeah, I wouldn't want to run if that thing gets down ahead of Pyromancer or a Delver or something like that.
Yeah,
that thing's just going to eat certain decks alive.
He played it against me, and it was real rough.
Mm-hmm.
That's like in my 1-3 2 weeks ago, I played him, and Liliana Last Hope, I couldn't beat it.
I would imagine this thing single-handedly obliterates in effect.
Oh, yeah, it was brutal. The only way I had around it was to use Inkmoth Nexus. That was the only thing I had, but he also... he does run 2 Wastelands too, so he's got me covered.
I didn't realize he's playing. He had Street Wraith, and I couldn't figure out why he was playing it, because every time he played it, he just kept cycling it. But I didn't realize that to cycle it, you had to just pay 2 life, and you had to discard it, discard it, and then draw a card. So it's almost like a non-blue Gitaxian Probe that just doesn't get your opponent's hand. Which is pretty interesting.
I don't know why he doesn't switch them out here, because it seems like knowing what your opponent has is a little bit more important than just cycling the card, unless maybe it's a Traverse target.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, well, Traverse isn't that for a certain converted mana cost, or it's just...
For what,
The Delirium part of it? I don't know. Oh,
yeah,
the creature or land.
search for a creature, you need delirium.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So just I'm not sure. But yeah, it was. He definitely like. I went 2-1 against him last week when I was running rugged threshold, and yeah, it was a interesting deck to play against for sure.
Yeah, and he's got like a little equipment package in the sideboard too with Lingering Souls and Umazao's Jite, and I believe he has a sword of something. No, he doesn't. He just has the Jite and the Lingering Souls.
Yep, yeah, that's pretty interesting actually. Eidolon of Rhetoric, which is something you don't see very often, which is the Journey of the Nyx, which can get you sometimes when you can't play more than one spell a turn. I'm assuming it's like just tech against Miracles and Storm decks, things like that.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine. This deck has been a real treat to watch, too, and he's been very active in the Discord channel, like trying to get advice on it and testing with people. He's really high on this deck right now, for good reason. It's doing well.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Mishra's Bauble in Legacy. We've seen it all now.
Yeah. Maybe that's why it spiked up to $60.
Yeah. Crazy. But he's got Fatal Push, Abrupt Decay, all like the big cards are there. So it's really really interesting to see him. He's done well the last few weeks, so
I wish him all the best.
Yeah, for sure. If he takes down the event, I mean, he'd get himself a bye, so that's pretty exciting, too.
Yeah, I hope he runs this in the quarterly, because I think he'll catch a lot, well, probably not now that I'm mentioning it, but he'll catch a lot of people off guard.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for sure. And I mean, when the first time I played Death Shadows against me, I was very surprised, and it gets pretty big if you don't deal with it right away.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get some hate messages now from him, being like, you gave away my deck.
But something that's pretty notable is that, like, we see a lot of, just in general, a lot more bug decks in the metagame, and Death Shadow is just a great Fatal Push target, so there is that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely got some vulnerabilities to Fatal Push. Like, I think every single one of his creatures gets hit by it.
Yep, that's why... I mean,
he can fight it back with his own Fatal Pushes against the opponent's creatures, and he has tons of discard spells.
Right.
He's got 4 Thoughtseize, 2 Inquisition of Kozilek, plus Liliana of the Veil.
Something I hadn't really even thought of, too, is like Sylvan Library also just gets his Death Shadows much bigger as well. I hadn't really considered that.
Oh, yeah. Lots of small synergies in this deck. It's pretty sweet.
Yep, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I guess I understand the Street Wraith versus the Jaxxy Bro, because he needs a Street Wraith to get a creature in his graveyard for Delirium. Mm-hmm. He's got Thoughtseize to cover the sorcery aspect, so... Nice. The only thing he needs now is to add red and put a Tarfire in there, and he'll be alright.
Yeah, it's quite the interesting deck, so... did you want to talk about the quarterly we have coming up, Danny?
Yeah, sure. So this Saturday, March 25th, it will be our first quarterly event. So this event will be... it's free to play, of course... And it's Swiss rounds followed by a top 8. And let me get the information. Okay, so the quarterly championship will be this Saturday, March 25th. It starts at noontime and free to play. This will be a Swiss round tournament followed by a cut the top 8. And the Swiss rounds will be based on attendance. The prize structure for this event is much bigger than our weekly events. First place will get 15 bot credits to Card Hoarder and an invite to the end of the year finals. So that's the big thing. Second place gets 10 bot credits and 5 points for the following season on the leaderboard to try to get your buy. Third and fourth both get 6 bot credits with 5 points for the following season. And then fifth through eighth each get 3 bot credits and then 3 points for the following season. And then I will be giving out 1 bot credit as a door prize and a playset of promotional Doom Blades. I know it's not a very highly played Legacy card, but it is pretty popular in Pauper, so hopefully people can use those.
That's awesome.
It's all free to play. Starts at noontime. Eastern Standard Time, sign up on Gathering Link just like you always do. On the Facebook page, there is the pinned post that gives you the instructions on how to get signed up. And if you do have any questions about getting signed up for this event, just message me or send me a mention on Twitter at Bobo Fraggles or contact me via the Facebook page and I will help you get set up. Another small note is if you have earned your buy, and you are playing in the event, I will set you up for the event. You just message me your deck list. I'll add it in. That way I can make sure everyone has the proper number of buys and that. If you are not playing in the event and you do have a buy, it will be transferable for over to the next quarterly. But if it does, if you don't play in the following quarterly, then it expires. So you get to transfer one buy over to the following quarterly as well. So message me also if you have a buy and you're not going to be playing. Just let me know.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, is there anything else anyone want to add before we got out of the cast this week?
No, I don't have too much. I just really hope everyone can come out to this quarterly. I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm also excited. It should be a really good time. I'm really pumped to see, you know, how many people we get for the event. I think a lot of people, like you said, people from Europe, were excited about the time difference, just because they can't do the 8:30 Eastern during the week. So this will be a cool change for them. And
And huge shout out to Julian the Elves guy. That's what I'm calling him.
Oh, Julian Nab.
Yeah. He's Julian the Elves guy.
Yeah, of course.
He has been very helpful in trying to get the European players rallied for this event. So hopefully with his help, we'll get a bunch of European players in, and hopefully we'll get like 30 to 40 people is what I'm hoping for.
That would be sweet, and I'm sure there'll be a bunch of people streaming the event as well, so that'll be fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Great. All right, awesome. All right, so Danny, if someone wants to get a hold of you, where can they find you, man?
Twitter is at BoboFraggles. Then Community Legacy League Facebook page is just facebook.com/CommunityLegacyLeague. And then, of course, Twitter at MTG Legacy League.
Awesome. And Tom, someone wants to get a hold of you and talk about bug depths. Where can they find you?
I'm on Facebook as Tom Epp or Negator77 on like the Source, Moto, Twitch, one of those places.
Awesome. You can find me at Pat Ugel on Twitter. You can find me streaming twitch.tv/PatUgel as well. And I think that's it for this week, guys.
Sounds good. Looking forward to the quarterly.
Yeah, see you in the quarterlies. All right, cool.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Thanks. Okay. Thanks, Danny. Thanks, Tom.
Pat, you cracked me up, man. So the only reason anyone would ever want to talk to Tom is to talk about depths.
Obviously, right? Yeah. Hey, you know what? If you're gonna be one dimensional, you guys should be as deep as possible in that one dimension, you know?
Yeah, I know. I know you're not one dimensional because I have on my second screen, I've got Facebook on the side, and this shit just keeps popping up. Pat Ugolo's posted an advertisement for Leaving a Legacy T-shirt while you're talking at the same time.
Hey, you know, I mean, you gotta be, you know, it's the last day for these shirts. I want people to buy the shirts and, you know, I just gotta, I don't know. Gotta make the most of my free time. I don't get a lot of it.
For future reference on those shirts, if you ever do it again, if you just do the Leaving a Legacy with the logo and leave off the Boston Mass part, I would buy one.
Oh, yeah?
Not from the area. It's kind of weird to be walking around in a Boston Mass t-shirt.
That's a fair criticism. I appreciate that.
You know, I walk around with a Boston, Massachusetts shirt.
What's Where that?
Oh, it's the Leaving a Legacy shirt.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, the cast is from out of Mass, and Boston guys like to tell everyone they're from Boston. It's like being a vegan, you know. You don't have to ask; they're just going to tell you.
You know? last year I went to a couple Phillies games down here. And your little traveling band of Red Sox fans that goes to every stadium with the team comes down and gets shit thrown on them. They get jumped. They start fights.
I know that Philly is supposed to be the city of brotherly love. But my brother went. So I grew up a Cowboys fan because that was like my dad grew up in Western Connecticut. Long story short, they were the only games he could get out there because the Patriots are always blacked out. So I grew up watching the Cowboys. And so I'm still a Cowboys fan. I like the Patriots, but I still like the Cowboys. And my brother Eric, his girlfriend at the time, his wife now, had got him tickets for a playoff game in Philly against the Cowboys. And these two teams are like bitter rivals from like the inception of the league. My brother could not believe how awful, like how mean the fans were. He was telling me about him getting flipped off by like a 10-year-old sitting in front of him. Like the kid just turned around, like gave him like the double deuce right in his face.
Nice.
It was pretty
By the way, Cowboys and Patriots is the most nauseating
I can't help where I live.
Combination of teams you root for that I've ever heard.
It's like, at least I don't like the Yankees too, you know? It could be worse.
Oh, thank God. At least, it's rough every time I go to my stadium. Versus the Red Sox.
Danny, you just turned into an android, my friend.
Yeah, that was not audible at all.
Oh, my goodness. I'm a world's greatest fan.
I believe hearing that you're a fan of the Cowboys and Patriots has destroyed his computer equipment.
It's possible. I'm used to it. I'm used to it.
But anyway.
I give up then.
Nice. But anyway, Pat, walking around in the Philly area with a Boston Mass shirt on is dangerous. All right.
I'll get it fixed for you, my friend. Next time.
All right, guys. Well, good night.
All right. See you, Danny. See you, Tom.
Take it easy, guys.
Bye.